This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watson, Donovan Peoples-Jones, no flags, incomplete, Steelers take over.
Intended for Peoples-Jones, carries back, Joey Porter Jr.
Well, it sure wasn't pretty, but the Steelers found a way to win, and ultimately, nothing is more important than that. There's a lot of question marks. A lot of concern to take away from last night's victory for the Steelers, 26-22 at Acrisure Stadium against the rival Cleveland Browns. And, well, the Browns are indeed the Browns. One thing that Juju Smith-Schuster did indeed get right here in Pittsburgh. There wasn't that many things, but that one he was completely spot on. Deshaun Watson played poorly. He had a ton of costly penalties on himself, including a face mask call that literally was trying to avoid the rush on third and 16 and escaped, scrambled. And he's a real story of how bad he played for Cleveland. Very upsetting to see the injury for Nick Chubb. You never want to see anybody injured, but to the effect of how poorly Nick Chubb was injured. He's already ruled out for the season by Kevin Stefanski. But the real story, the number one story, the number one topic everyone should be talking about is how great T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are. How great they are. T.J. Watt's getting paid $28 million. Alex Highsmith, $17 million, combined for $45 million between the two this year. They're worth every damn penny. It was on full display and the first play of the game. Tip ball out of the hands of Minka, who left the game with a chest injury and did not return. That's going to be critical to watch how he recovers this week. He was taken to a local hospital after the injury during the game. And if you're hurt middle of the game, don't come back. It doesn't really say many great things about your availability in the next game. But Alex Highsmith was Johnny on the spot, following the football, something that these linebackers for the Steelers do so well. Highsmith was right there, made the interception on the first play of the game, and took it back into the end zone for a touchdown. Pick six, first play, Steelers defense scores a touchdown. Later on in the game, when you needed it most, after he had already broken the Steelers' all-time sacks record with 81.5 sacks, T.J. Watt made another play. But he had the assist from his best buddy, from the newly minted $17 million a year man, who some people were saying maybe should have only got $14 a year, maybe $15 a year. $17 million is too steep of a number to pay for Alex Highsmith, for a guy that really broke out with 14.5 sacks last year. But that was without T.J. Watt. We know he'll probably be better with T.J. Watt. He proved his worth last year without the best defensive player in football. Maybe not named Aaron Donald, but at the moment, T.J. is the best. And how about that duo? Alex Highsmith off the edge, sacks Deshaun Watson, strip, fumble, ball out, T.J. Watt, touchdown. Boom. The defense scored more points than the offense. The Browns have had 20 straight seasons without a 2-0 start. It's the longest in a very long time. And that's all because of T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith. The secondary for the Steelers was not good. You can argue that the clip you heard entering the early morning show of Joey Porter Jr. on coverage on the game-winning stop, that Joey Porter Jr. in his limited snaps was the best corner the Steelers had the entire night. I mean, Levi Wallace was burnt toast running across the middle of the field trying to cover Amari Cooper. He said he needed an IV after the game. It's what he felt like. He needed an IV. It was that bad for him just running around trying to cover Cooper. Levi Wallace was not good, man. Patrick Peterson was okay. He had a couple of pass breakups that I liked across the middle. But most of that was just Deshaun Watson either being inaccurate or just not being able to run with the football. Not a great player. How about a fall from grace that he's had from Houston? Everybody likes to pick on and target Russell Wilson, who, yeah, is atrocious in the second half of games. A lot of that being pointed to maybe plays not being scripted like the first half, or his completion percentage is a lot higher. The Broncos tend to be winning in the first half, but I digress. T.J. Watt and Alex Highsmith are the two, they're the best pass rushing duo in the NFL. I don't think that that's very hard to say. T.J. Watt went out there on the field and healthy is the best defensive player in football. And how do I know that? Why should other people think that? Okay, so James Harrison is the Steelers' all-time sack leader. Yes, a big reason why is because sacks were not counted as an official stat for Joe Green, for Elsie Greenwood, for a ton of the Steelers of the 70s. It was later on, I think it's 81-82, where sacks became an official stat. So the 70s Steelers don't have the luxury as being considered official, but Joe Green is right up there with the rest of them. James Harrison played 177 games in a Steelers uniform, made 107 starts. He recorded 80 and a half sacks. 177 games over 14 years. T.J. Watt is in his seventh year as a Steelers linebacker. Last night was game number 89. He has 81 and a half sacks. 81 and a half sacks in 89 games. Now, don't forget he only played 10 last year. He was hurt in probably more than half of those 10 games. He came out of the game in two of them. And he still recorded 5.5 sacks. He tied the NFL all-time sack record with 22.5, tying Michael Strahan, winning NFL Defensive Player of the Year in 2021. And many argue he should have won it in 2020. And even in 2019, as he was a Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro, 2019, he was third in Defensive Player of the Year voting and second in 2020 and during the COVID year before finally winning it in 2021. And I believe that T.J. Watt, I put my money where my mouth is at the beginning of the season, will lead the NFL in sacks once again. And he's already proven it. He's got 4 sacks so far this year. He's a dominant force. Other than Micah Parsons, I don't think there's anybody who can challenge him right now. Aaron Donald, yes. Health's going to play a big part in that. The relevancy of the Rams as well. But when you talk about big players showing up and making big plays, it seems like Myles Garrett is a ghost playing against the Steelers. He's invisible. You never hear his name. Where does he go? He goes away. He shrivels in big moments. Myles Garrett, this is completely and utterly laughable. I don't know if it's more of a testament to Dan Moore and the success that the 4th-round pick from Texas A&M has had against his Texas A&M buddy. Myles Garrett on the night. Cue the crickets. 1 tackle. No tackles for loss. No sacks. No deflections. He had 1 quarterback hit. Congratulations, Myles Garrett, on all your success. How about T.J. Watt? I mean, if you look at these side by side, as I am now, it's pretty laughable when people try to consider Myles Garrett as a better football player than T.J. Watt. Remember, Myles Garrett, one tackle, congratulations, one quarterback hit, paying all that money for 95 to rush on the outside for Cleveland and be their savior on the defensive end. Well, T.J. Watt had four tackles, two tackles for loss, a sack, one pass deflected, three quarterback hits, a fumble recovery, and a touchdown. Just think about that for a moment. People have the audacity to say that Myles Garrett is a better football player than T.J. Watt. Yet when you put them side by side, every single time they don't directly play against each other, they don't line up against each other, every time the Steelers and Browns play each other, which seems to be more and more in prime time, one guy goes away and you don't see him more, and the other embraces the spotlight, still doesn't want to talk. I mean, he really doesn't. He's not that vocal of a guy in terms of things that he says in the media or anything like that. But T.J. Watt shows out on the big stage, lets his play do the talking, while Myles Garrett is still remembered in this rivalry as swinging a helmet at Mason Rudolph more than anything. T.J. Watt broke the Steelers' all-time sack record with 81.5. Here's what he had to say after the game.
Yeah, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't special. Just like anything, it hasn't set in. I don't know if it will until I have time to really sit down and process what just happened tonight. But there's so many people along the way that have helped me get to where I am. I can't stand the individual awards of football because Debo himself helped me so much my rookie year. He didn't have to. No one asked him to, but he wanted to help me, and I appreciate him for that. So many of my teammates, coaches, mentors, my brothers, my wife's support, my parents. I mean, there's just so many people that go into it that it's not myself out there making the plays. I mean, I can't take all the credit.
T.J. Watt is incredibly humble. I think the first word that comes to mind, especially when I hear that, and when I just think about T.J. Watt in general, how he acts with the media, how he acts with the fan base, how he just goes about his business. He is so selfless. He cares about other people. He doesn't put himself first. He's the highest paid player on the defensive side of the ball for the Steelers, for the entire team. He's a top five player in the NFL, top three on the defensive side of the ball. I think he's the best defensive player in football. And he just embraces everything. He gives credit where credit is due. Thanks James Harrison, who mentored him, who was such a critical part of this Steelers defense, 2008 Defensive Player of the Year. Somebody who had one of the greatest and most iconic plays in Super Bowl history on the pick six back to the end zone to help the Steelers score points and go into the Super Bowl halftime with the momentum swinging in their favor. And it's all things that the Steelers and T.J. Watt are looking to try to do. Same things that the 2008 Steeler defense had. With Watt as the catalyst, just like James Harrison. T.J. Watt is a unique player. He's special in so many different attributes and aspects. $28 million, Alex Highsmith, $17 million. $45 million spread between the two. It's money well spent. T.J. Watt is the Steelers' all-time sacks leader, 81.5, and he did it in 89 games. James Harrison took 107 starts. T.J. Watt, and he dealt with injuries last year, only played 10 games and was hurt, came out of the Bengals game, was banged up in other games and did not finish games or was out for a significant portion of them. Steelers defense had six sacks, four forced fumbles, three fumble recoveries, an interception, and two defensive touchdowns. The defense scored more points than the offense, led by Trenton Jordan Watt. Well, the offense, it wasn't pretty. We got to talk about it, and we will. Coming up next, Fanway Morning Show. I'm Austin Bechtel. Oh, welcome to Pooh City, PA, home of Matt Canada and Phil Jurkovic. That's a clip from Kyle Gary, that Andrew Filippone also tweeted last night. of the crowd yelling, "Fire Canada." I was at the game, and honestly, that was probably the loudest chant, cheer out of anything I heard the entire night, other than the TJ Watt scoop and score for a touchdown on the strip sack from Alex Highsmith. Yeah, it was very noticeable. It was audibly loud. It was so loud, people could hear it on the TV screen. It was not during a commercial break. People could hear it, and people could tell exactly what they were saying. You know why people don't feel the need to defend people like Matt Canada, Phil Dracovic, at this point? And this is not a roasting session or a Rep Phil Dracovic segment. More so Matt Canada. It's accountability. It's looking yourself in the damn mirror and understanding that there's a problem. There's an issue here. The Steelers at halftime, I had to look 4 or 5 times when I saw this on the board, on the scoreboard. Okay, you ready for this? Strap yourself in. The Steelers at halftime had 1 yard rushing. One yard rushing. Now, things did materialize to be better in the second half. I would hope they couldn't get any worse. The Steelers had 1 yard rushing. Overall, the Steelers rushed for 55 yards. The Steelers defense, which was good and won the team the game, gave up 198 rushing yards. Now, the Browns had 210 passing yards, but the Steelers altogether in this game were utterly dominated in all the key stats. Rushing yards, 198 to 55. Total yards, 408 to 255. But the defense was what made it count. 6 sacks, an interception, forcing 4 fumbles. The Browns won the possession battle by over 10 minutes. 35 minutes of possession time. Felt like the Steeler defense was on the field for most of the game. The offense kept going 3 and out. It was kind of disastrous. But you know what really just eked at me during the game as I sat there and thought to myself, oh, they're coming out the punt again. The amount of times that the Steelers punted at their own 40 or 41 to 45-yard line. There was a ball at the 41-yard line the Steelers ended up punting. There was one at the 48. There was another one, though. The amount of times, I think it was at least 3 times, maybe 4, that the Steelers punted inside their own territory. A couple touchbacks from Harvin. Yes, once he did pin him back at the 9. One, he pinned the Browns at the 1-yard line. That ended up paying off for the Steelers. And Renegade worked. I was thinking to myself, I might come on here and say, and I like the song a lot. I like when they bring it up, but does Renegade still have the same effect? Yeah, well, Renegade, the Steelers did on 3rd and forever to the Browns, give up a passing play down the sideline that they really shouldn't have, where everybody got lost in coverage. But a couple plays later, Alex Highsmith, strip sack, forced fumble, TJ Watt score. Renegade paid off. Renegade worked. But the offense, man, and there was nothing worse when seeing on 3rd down and 1, Isaac Seumalo, well, actually 2 plays are coming to mind all at once, but 1 play, Isaac Seumalo, on 3rd down for the Steelers, gave Kenny Pickett maybe a half a second to be able to react. It was like a freight train coasting right at you on the tracks and you never saw it coming. And Seumalo blocked nobody. He shifted over to his right when he should have shifted to the left. There was a guy right in front of him at the line of scrimmage before the snap that he just clearly and flat out did not block. Mason Cole said the 3rd down play. Now, the 2nd play that I wanted to get to, where Kenny Pickett kept the ball on 3rd and 1, trying to catch everybody off guard. It was a read option that Pickett kept. And Cleveland brought the pressure from that side. He said that the offensive issues were not due to play calls, it's from our own Josh Rountree, but execution. Now, to be fair to Matt Canada, there were some throws that Kenny Pickett did not make. He bounced a couple, a slant route to George Pickens that he just threw too far. He had a ball behind George Pickens on third down that really was a play. I mean, Pickett, you got to make. Everything that we saw in the preseason from Kenny Pickett, where balls were right there on the money, accuracy was at a premium. Things that we saw from him in his final year at Pitt. Things we saw from him in the back half of last season, where he was putting the balls on the receivers. Give the ball to George Pickens and let him make plays. And that's what they did on the slant route that ended up going for a touchdown. Pickens just completely and utterly ran past the safety like he was a statue standing in slow motion. Or in no motion whatsoever. And George Pickens looked like a 4-2-4 receiver out there running a 40-yard dash better than anybody. So George Pickens was probably one of the only winners on the Steelers' offense of the night. The offensive line wasn't very good. Boo City was in out there in full display. And many people on Twitter went out and said, if you're out there booing and chanting Fire Canada right now, it's pretty pathetic. You need to look yourself in the mirror. It's pretty pathetic. Why? The talk around boos and complaining, it's a part of the game. It's a part of being a fan. If you don't like it, play better. You're getting paid how much money to go out there and perform on the field? And you think that boos are a bad thing? I'm completely fine with booing. I would have booed too. I didn't necessarily boo because it's just not really my thing necessarily to boo. Now, if I think it is, oh yeah, I'll boo. Yeah. The Fire Canada things, kind of warranted, don't you think? That they can boo, they can cheer, they can chant. Now, I don't like it on a personal level because, yes, Matt Canada, he's a human being. It's tough. It's the same thing with Phil Dracovic. On a personal level, it sucks. You know, nobody wants to get booed. Is it truly right from a human being standpoint? No, but the reality that we're living in is high-level competitive sports, the ACC, backyard brawl, Steelers-Browns Monday Night Football, one of the biggest rivalries in all of sports, two cities that absolutely can't stand each other. So yeah, I mean, I don't care about the booing. Handle it. You can't take it, go play better. Man, I had no problem with the boos. Fire Canada. Call better plays. A lot of it is on Kenny Pickett, and he should take responsibility for it. Through two games, he's not played well. Now, he did play better last night than he did against San Francisco. It's kind of hard to play worse. Did Pickett hear the boos? Did Pickett hear the Fire Canada chants?
No. You know, we were locked in on winning the game. I was going over 2-minute, 4-minute scenarios with the guys, you know, find a way to win, whatever we needed to do there at the end. But, you know, hats off to our defense, played unbelievable. You know, we got the best player in the world, in my opinion, in 90, and 56 is close behind. You know, he's unbelievable. So those guys did a hell.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe that. They had to hear it. Everybody in the stadium could hear it. The press box could hear it. Everybody on TV could hear it. You got to be naive to think that Kenny Pickett did not hear the Fire Canada chants. I'm sure Matt Canada heard him. And as he was trying to communicate to people, and if not, somebody definitely let him know. Somebody on that sideline heard it and probably related to Kenny Pickett. I'd be surprised if that wasn't the case. Because, I mean, let's be honest and realistic here. Kenny Pickett and the offense, they might talk about execution. They might say all the right things in the media. But deep down, and in their own communications, I mean, they got to talk about it, right? About the play calls and how they're saying it's all on them. Why do I really think that so much is on Matt Canada? Jets sweeps in positions where they shouldn't be. And the fact that, most especially, one rushing yard at half, not being able to establish the run, not being able to pick a back to stick with, whoever has the hot hand. Jaylen Warren was the better back last night. It makes me feel horrendous because I remember sitting at the fantasy draft table with Crowley saying, hey, do you really want to pick Najee Harris for our fantasy team? They're going to do a split backfield. Jaylen Warren is the better back right now. Najee Harris had some big runs. I liked when he changed directions and went from the far side of the field to the near side and ended up breaking a big run. He had a 20-yard run right before that. The Steelers defense picked this team up. If it wasn't for the Steelers defense, they would have lost. They scored more points. They forced more points. 14, 12, I guess, if you don't count the extra points. But they scored more than the offense. Yeah, the Steelers offense hurt it, but the real factor also is Pat Freiermuth. Put out the wanted posters, the missing person reports. Is he in witness protection program? Pat Freiermuth has 2 catches for 5 yards on 5 total targets. And that's another reason why people are pointing the finger at Matt Canada. As a play caller, you draw up plays for your best players. They did it for George Pickens. Kenny Pickett talked about it.
Yeah, they did a good job. That pick early in the game, it was funnel, and 22 passed off Pat and jumped inside on him. A lot of times he was getting doubled. It was tough to get him the football, but whenever we had that opportunity of one-on-one, I really wanted to get him the ball and let him do his thing. So that's something we got to continue to take advantage of, getting him singled up, moving him around, being creative, and finding ways to get him the football.
And that's what they did with George Pickens, who I think by the end of the season, and a lot of this is dependent on how Kenny Pickett develops, that George Pickens could be a top 5 wide receiver, probably number 5, in the NFL. 4 catches, 127 yards, and a touchdown, where he used blazing speed. I don't know if anybody really knew he had that quick a speed in open space with 2 defenders in front of him. Calvin Austin, I think, was out there trying to block for him. Yeah, he didn't even need the block. George Pickens just ran by everybody. Kenny Pickett was 15 of 30, completed half of his throws, 222 yards, a touchdown, an interception. He was sacked twice. Did have that long of 71 yards to George Pickens. But Pat Freiermuth is a ghost, man. He had 1 catch for 2 yards. Matt Canada, you have to draw up some plays to get your tight end the ball. He's somebody that has broken records for the Steelers in terms of overall tight end productivity. And he has 5 receiving yards through 2 games. You got to get Pat Freiermuth the ball. That's part of how this offense also needs to continue to thrive. Kenny Pickett, make the easy throws. They're not taking any deep shots still. They're using the sideline a lot. Not as much as we saw last year. They're getting the middle of the field involved a little bit more on slants. But they throw so many slants. Pickett missed on a couple of them. He was not good early in the game. He got better, but it wasn't fluid. It was still miserable for the Steelers' offense, and it wasn't for the defense. It would have been another loss. Going to Vegas, it's going to be another interesting type of game for the Steelers. But one that they really should win before going and playing Houston, which if they don't win, will amount to a dumpster fire of Sports Talk Radio the next day. The Wake Up Show is presented by 84 Lumber. Put your positive attitude to work at 84 Lumber. Apply at 84lumber.com. Coming up next, I want to play this Ryan Clark clip during the post-game show with Scott Van Pelt last night. Oh, man, you got to hear it. Coming up, Sports Radio 97 The Fan. Final minute during the Steelers' absolute defensive display with T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith. Here's what the great Ryan Clark had to say about it on ESPN.
Personal. And I'm going to run over like Kenny Smith because I'm going to do this for the whole time. Now, here's what we want to see. This was such a great matchup of defensive personnel. They're going to come out and they're in 13 personnel, which is 1 back and 3 tight ends. So you see the 3 tight ends here. Actually, that guy's a tight end. And so that's going to put Minka Fitzpatrick on the outside here as the corner because they are matching personnel. Now, the Cleveland Browns are totally messed up. What they're going to run is we're going to have a press out here, which means we should have gotten a clear out. By not getting the clear out, it's going to draw Minka Fitzpatrick into the play. Now watch, as Deshaun Watson throws the ball to Brian Harrison, he's going to expect him to stop, or at least Brian Harrison thinks he should. The ball tips off his hand. Alex Highsmith, one of the richest men that plays for the Pittsburgh Steelers right now, and a part of that great outside linebacker fraternity, makes a huge play.
And, you know, Ryan Clark is just such a great football mind, former Pittsburgh Steelers safety. And seeing him at the Taylor Strader, you got to see the video if you haven't. I mean, it's just truly fantastic. The pre-show is next, coming up. Sports Radio 97 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.